Hear these words from Psalm 148. Lord, from the heavens, praise him in the heights above. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, wild animals and all cattle and creeping things and small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
Our opening hymn this morning was written by Ruth Duck, a minister with the United Church of Christ in the United States. She's also the professor of worship at Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary in Illinois. She's a widely published author of hymn texts, including 10 in Voices United and 10 more in More Voices. This morning's hymn invites us to hear the sounds of God's creation as a song of praise. The Trinity is invoked as maker, giver, and lover. Let's stand and sing together. It's a song of praise to the Maker from More Voices, number 30. Our call to worship this morning is a stirring call to all of creation to praise God. It was written in the year 1225 by one of Christendom's most beloved historical figures, St. Francis of Assisi. He's remembered as a gentle and compassionate man who is a lover of nature and animals and as a lover of the truth that teaches believers to respect not just their fellow humans, but all of God's creatures. This humble, devout monk would often be found praying wherever there were trees, fields, open sky, and his friends and the animals. He believed that to love God was to love all creatures, and that, quote, if you have men who will exclude any of God's creatures from the shelter of compassion and pity, you will have men who will deal likewise with their fellow men, unquote. A lover of music, Brother Francis encouraged singing in his monastery and wrote more than 60 hymns for just that very purpose.
He believed these words found in Psalm 19. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory. How plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day, and each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used, no sound is heard, yet their message goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth. Let us now stand and sing together verses 1 and 2 of All Creatures of Our God and King, number 217 in Voices United.
Hear the words of the psalmist David from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Linnea Good provides the words and music for our opening prayer. Linnea is a Canadian singer-songwriter, musical animator, and educator whose life's work is to help people celebrate their lives, especially through music. Her base is her Canadian culture, community, and strong Christian faith. Linnea travels extensively, seeking connections between the new and the old, the head and the heart, between male and female, children and adults, between those who pray and those who act. This, she believes, is the challenge of our time in the house of faith, to bring together that which is broken and that which we have forgotten was ever one in the first place. We'll remain seated as we sing our opening prayer twice. It will be followed by a time of silence, giving each one of us an opportunity to have that quiet inner conversation with our God, that personal moment to open our hearts, minds, and souls to the Spirit. O God, we call, number 411 in Voices United, singing twice, please.
Today's anthem, There Is a Balm in Gilead, was originally intended to go with the Old Testament reading for today, if Reverend Chris had been here, and that reading was from Jeremiah chapter 8. Even though the service has changed, the choir is still going to sing it for you, because it features our choral scholar, Nikki Ferreira, as soloist. You can read about the background of this spiritual in the music notes on your announcement sheet. A humble birth over 2,000 years ago. An infant who would be a king like no other. The prophet Isaiah foretold of his coming. Chapter 11, verse 10. The time is coming when one of David's descendants will be the signal for the people of all nations to come together. They will follow his advice, and his own nation will become famous. And from the Gospels, we hear Matthew's account of the Messiah's birth. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph. But before they were married, she found out that she was going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man who always did what was right, but he did not want to disgrace Mary publicly. So he made plans to break the engagement privately. While he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it's by the Holy Spirit that she's conceived. She'll have a son, and you'll name him Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, Where's the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we've come to worship him. And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they'd seen in the east. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him.
The original text of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel dates back to the 9th century and was written as part of a set of responsive hymns for Advent. In the mid-1800s, John Mason Neal translated the original Latin text, giving us one of the greatest Advent hymns of the church. Each verse of this hymn takes one Old Testament metaphor for the Messiah and dwells upon its significance for Advent. Emmanuel, wisdom, God of might, rod of Jesse, dayspring, key of David. These are woven into a fabric of prayer, and the overall impact is one of triumph and victory. Born in London, England in 1818 to evangelical parents, Neal was an unusual man whose interests varied all the way from architecture through theology, hymns, languages, translating, traveling, writing, and founding a convent for young women. Although his chief fame was as a translator of Greek and Latin hymns, and having completed over 200 of them, he remained a humble man who sought no public recognition for his works. We'll remain seated as we sing verse 1 of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, number 1 in Voices United.
O come, all ye faithful, is one of the favorite Christmas hymns in Canada. From coast to coast, north to south, we sing it in big churches, little churches, and all the ones in between. It was written in the early 1700s by John Francis Wade, a layman and a devout Catholic. Unfortunately, very little is known about Wade. He carried on a business, a music copying business, in France. He taught music and spent much of his time writing. Let's stand and sing together verses 1 and 5 of Come All Ye Faithful, Voices United, number 60.
In his Epiphany hymn, I Am the Light of the World, Californian hymn writer and composer John Strathdee uses Jesus' words from Scripture to introduce a vision of what following Jesus means. Based on a poem by African-American author Howard Thurman, the text moves us out of the Christmas story and into the work of being Christian, finding the lost, healing the afflicted, feeding the hungry, and all the other duties that full humanity revealed in Jesus demands. If we were to sing the entire song this morning, we might notice that up to the middle of verse 3, Strathdee is simply listing obligations, but from there it changes as he begins to show us ways to facilitate the tasks. We need to have strength through goodwill. We need to see all our fellows as God's children. We need to hope and to celebrate. What might have become a very heavy yoke to bear becomes a discipline incorporating hope and joy. We'll remain seated as we sing together the refrain, verse 1, and refrain again, I Am the Light of the World, number 87 in Voices United. Recall now pieces of the Easter story as told to us in the Scriptures. From John's Gospel we hear, the next day a large crowd was in Jerusalem for Passover. When they heard that Jesus was coming for the festival, they took palm branches and went out to greet him. They shouted, Hosanna! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And after being betrayed and the trial, the soldiers took charge of Jesus, carrying his own cross. He went out to the place of the skull. There they crucified him and laid him in a tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. The tomb was empty. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Mary. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Crucifixion, penance, self-denial, and ashes. Lent is a journey into the valley of the shadow of death. But it's never without hope. We journey with Christ to the cross, but we also know what lies on the other side. Resurrection, forgiveness, feasting, and new life. This morning's Lenten hymn was published by George Hunt Smitten in 1856. Smitten was born in England in 1822. After graduating from Corpus Christi College in Cambridge, he was ordained in 1848. His death in Frankfurt, Germany in 1870 was sudden and pathetic. He was alone at the time. He was buried unknown in an unmarked grave. We'll remain seated as we sing verse 1 of 40 Days and 40 Nights in Voices United 114.
Hosanna, Loud Hosanna was written almost a century and a half ago by Jeanette Threlfall. Excuse me. Jeanette was orphaned as a child and as an adult suffered an accident that left her an invalid for life. But she was known for her cheerful nature, not her handicap. She expressed her deep faith through poetry and hymns. In our next hymn, she invites us to celebrate again the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem. We'll remain seated as we sing verse 1 of Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, number 123 in Voices United.
Our next hymn originated with the African-American slaves in the early 1800s. The earliest known printed version of this anonymous song is found in a book called Old Plantation Hymns, published in 1899. Slaves could identify in a powerful way with the abuse and the sufferings of Christ. There was something about the man Jesus hanging there upon the hard wooden cross. Here was a man who was beaten like they were. He was spit upon. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned for a crime he didn't commit. And he was hung on a tree, a method of execution slaves were all too familiar with. Through all of these indignities, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." How was he able to forgive? The slaves questioned. What was it that enabled him to love those who were unlovable? Was he in pain? They were in pain. Did he have to drink the cup of suffering? They had to drink theirs too. Yes, their cross was one with his cross. Jesus died for the sins of all men, of every color. In time, many slaves embraced Jesus as their Savior, and they experienced his peace, his grace, and his forgiveness, and his hope for the future. From this relationship, they were able to sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" We'll remain seated as we sing verse 1 of "Were You There?" Voices United, 144.
"Christ the Lord is Risen Today" was written in the early 1700s by an Anglican minister, Charles Wesley, who along with his brother John founded the Methodist movement. It is believed that during his lifetime, Charles wrote close to 9,000 hymns, one hymn every second day for 50 years. His songs were scripture-based, providing an effective and lasting teaching tool. They supplied material for praise and devotional reading, and they furnished the Christian faith with a new expression of witness. Let's stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of "Christ the Lord is Risen Today," number 157 in Voices United.
The text of our next great hymn is a composite by two different authors, both of whom were inspired by Revelations 19, verse 12. "And on his head were many crowns." The original verses of "Crown Him with Many Crowns" were penned in 1851 by Matthew Bridges, an English poet who spent the latter years of his life in Canada. Bridges once wrote a book condemning Roman Catholic theology. Later in life, he left the Church of England and he converted to Catholicism. Godfrey Thring was a devout Anglican clergyman who was concerned that this popular hymn was allowing Catholic theology to be sung by Protestant congregations, and so he wrote 6 new verses. The 12 verses have been mixed and matched throughout the years. The hymn, as found in most hymnals today, includes verses by both Bridges and Thring. We'll remain seated as we sing together verse 1 of "Crown Him with Many Crowns," Voices United, 211.
The psalmist David writes, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples."
The classic text of our next hymn was written in 1826 by Reginald Heber, a bishop in the Church of England. Heber was impressed by the vitality of singing in evangelical and independent churches and led the movement to lift restrictions on hymn singing in the Church of England. After Heber's unexpected death at age 43, his wife found this song amongst some of his writings, and she passed it on to noted musician John Dykes, who composed and arranged the hymn for publication. Heber wrote the lyrics for 57 hymns, the one that's stood the test of time and whose words echo the ongoing worship of heaven is the beautiful, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Let's sing together verse 1 of "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," Voices United 315.
The story of Fanny Crosby is one of sorrow, yet of the deepest love. At the age of 6 weeks old, Fanny developed an eye infection. The family physician was not available, so another physician was called. He applied hot mustard poultices to the baby's eyes. This caused severe burns to Fanny's eyes, and she was permanently blind from there on. Fanny never felt bitter, but instead grew into a young woman who saw God in everything around her and in every circumstance that life handed her. Although she was physically blind, Fanny had the keenest of spiritual sight, which is reflected in her 9,000-plus hymns. Her love of God and her eagerness to share with others what Christ had done for them brought countless numbers to Christ. Let's remain seated as we sing verse 1 of Blessed Assurance, number 337 in Voices United.
Irish-born Joseph M. Scriven was 25 years old, in love, and was about to be married. The day before his wedding, his fiancée died in a tragic drowning accident. Heartbroken, Joseph sailed from his homeland to start a new life in Canada. While in this country, working as a teacher, he fell in love again. He became engaged to Eliza Roche. Once again, Joseph's hopes and dreams were shattered when Eliza became ill and died before the wedding could take place. Although one can only imagine his pain, history tells us his faith in God sustained him. Soon after Eliza's death, Joseph joined the Plymouth Brethren and began preaching for a Baptist church. He never married, spent the remainder of his life giving all his time, money, even his clothes off his own back to help the less fortunate and to spread the love and compassion of Jesus wherever he went. Around the same time that Eliza died, Joseph received word from Ireland that his mother was ill. He couldn't go to be with her, so he wrote a letter of comfort and enclosed one of his poems entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Some 30 years later, the poem was put to music and remains a favorite hymn for many to this very day. We'll remain seated. We'll sing verse 1 of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," Voices United 664.
Our call to prayer is by Ken Medema. Blind from birth, he studied voice, piano, and music theory at Michigan State University and became a music therapist. "Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying" was written while he was working with a youth group in New Jersey. He states, "We started talking about a young man who was in the hospital and who really needed our prayers. In the middle of the prayer time, this little chorus came to me. I started humming, then singing, and soon the kids were mumbling along with me. So it was a song born out of our concern and prayer for a friend. Please join us in singing, "Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying," Voices United, number 400. Please join with us in prayer. God of love, life, and music. We give you thanks for all that inspires creation to sing praises and glorify your name. We give thanks for those whose faith and talent bring us hymns for all seasons. We give thanks for those who write and play the music, for those who sing the songs, and for the joy and pleasure it brings each one of us to be part of the harmony of creation. We give a special thank you for the safe arrival of Samuel Gordon, and we thank you for new life and the hope and joy that fills a community when a family grows.
God of grace, this morning we bring you prayers for those who need your healing touch, for all who are waiting for test results, waiting for surgery, waiting for treatment, for those who are recovering from surgery, from illness and injury, for those who are grieving, and for those who are living with loss. We pray for those whose lives continue to be affected by violence. Bring us all to a place where we can put down our guns. And we offer special prayers this morning as we remember the mighty run so many years ago by that young gentleman who tried to cross this country with one leg. Out of that has grown an immense movement in the fight against cancer.
God of creation, we ask that you gather all of our prayers, the spoken, the unspoken, and those we cannot yet name. We offer all of them to you now, opening our hearts to you, offering ourselves to you, as we sing together the prayer that Jesus taught us, number 959 in Voices United.
Our choral commissioning hymn was written by Reverend John Oldham, who served as a United Church minister for many years in Manitoba. While there, he developed a deep respect and affinity for Native spirituality and how it relates to the Christian tradition. Let's stand and sing together, deep in our hearts, More Voices 154.